Beloved, the glow of the resurrection still shone in Jerusalem on the evening of that first day. The women had seen Jesus at the tomb, and they had run back to tell the disciples, "He is not dead, he is risen." But they could scarcely believe it. You see, the text that Patty read to us from the Gospel of John is still the first day, is still the first Easter Sunday. And the disciples had not seen him. Yes, yes, yes. He had shown up to the women. He had shown up to the men on the road to Emmaus. But they, the disciples, were locked behind a door for fear of the Jews. Patty was right. They were afraid that what had happened to Jesus might happen to them. And so they were hiding. They were hiding and they didn't know what to do. They thought the women's tales were wild and foolish. And then he appeared. He appeared in the midst of them. Poof! Jesus! I wonder what happened in their hearts. I wonder what went on in their minds. There they are shaking, and then he's among them. He does not upbraid them. Please go back and read that part in John. He does not say, "So, couldn't you believe me? Like, I've been telling you this for a long time." No. Instead, he shows them his hands, and instead, he shows them his side, and they rejoice, and there are loud amens. And then he offers them three things. He offers them a promise. He offers them a project. And he offers them provision. And beloved, this is a formula as old as Genesis. He offers them a promise. He speaks to them peace. And this peace is no simple cessation of war or absence of tribulation. This peace is no simple tranquility. Eirene is the Greek word, and it means security, it means safety, it means prosperity, it means enough. It means assuredness. This is not the first time Jesus has offered them peace. He's the one who spoke to the wind and the waves and said, "Peace, be still." He's the one who said to them, "My peace I give to you, not as the world give I unto you, but this peace that later Paul will describe as a peace that passes all understanding." He gives them this peace, this security, this safety. He gives them what they need. Their world is reeling and rocking. Nothing feels safe. Nothing feels secure. That's why they were behind that locked door. He gives them what they need. Their hearts have been beating out of their chests because they don't know what's going to happen next. But he comes to them and says, "You need not worry. When I was born, the angel said, 'Peace to all on whom his favor rests.' You need not worry. I'm the one who said, 'Blessed are the peacemakers.' I know what you need. You need peace. You need peace because you're worried. You need peace because you don't know what's going to happen next. You need peace so that you can stand assured and secure. Peace." And he says it to them twice. And we are not unlike the disciples, beloved. We need to hear it more than once as well. In this world that also is reeling and rocking, in this world where we do have reports of 20 people being shot, in this world where we're afraid to leave doors unlocked, or like the woman who was putting her car in her garage and was carjacked, in this world we're not much different than the disciples. Though we know he has risen, we lived behind locked doors as well. Not afraid of the Jews, but afraid of our world, afraid of what will happen, afraid of being taken advantage of, afraid of being robbed. We live as locked up as the disciples. But just as he came to the disciples and said, peace, peace, this kind of peace, he comes to us today in these 40 days and says to us, peace, I'm still sovereign. Peace, you're still mine. Peace, you are still in my hands. Peace, I am still in control of the world. Peace. We, like the disciples, need that same peace so we stand assured and secure, so that we can move out into the world and be the hands and feet in Christ, so we can move out into the world and be the forward guard of His love and His restoration. We need first to be at peace so that we can move in the world in exactly the way He wanted His disciples to go. Because you see, after the promise, there was a provision, a project. And the project was, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The project was to go out into the world. But something extraordinary happened as I studied to offer this sermon to us this morning. Jesus uses two very different words in that text for send. The project is on His part, that the Father has sent Him. The word is apostello. In the Greek, it means being ordered to go to a particular place. As the Father has sent me, as the Father has ordered me to go to a particular place, to you, to all who will follow me, so I send you. But it's not apostello, it's pempo. And in the Greek, this means I bid you to carry this to another. It's an altogether different world. As the Father has sent me to a particular place, I send you to carry this. What's the this? Beloved, Jesus did not ask the disciples to know the Bible backwards and forwards. In fact, the New Testament hadn't been written. He did not ask them to quote from the great philosophers of their day. They weren't Christian. It wouldn't help to quote from them. He didn't ask them to tell of every single thing He had done. None of them had seen it all. He did not ask them to know chapter and verse, the road to Romans, or anywhere else. The this is go out into the world, carry this to another, carry your experience, carry your love, carry what you know, carry what you've learned, carry what is your truth about me. And it's no different today. God is calling us. Jesus is sending us to carry this to another. And the this is not the 66 chapters of the Bible. The this is not even what I offer you on Sunday morning. The this is your experience of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and God's presence. Yes, beloved, it is good to know the biblical writ. It is why my sermons are always based in it. Yes, beloved, it is good to know what the fathers of the church in the patristic era spoke, or the desert mothers. Yes, it's good to remember what your Sunday school teachers taught you all of those years ago. But whatever somebody gave you is not yours. Not until you take it in and digest it and make it yours. Carry this to one another. Carry the truth of the love of the Savior. Carry the truth of the peace of the Savior. Carry the truth of the power of His resurrection as it has been made known to you. Last week, when we talked about the boys on the road to Emmaus, they said He was made known to us in the breaking of the bread. That bread was at their table, in their sight, in their experience. The project is to carry to one another that which you know, that which God has done for you. I will never forget the story in John 9. It is an emblematic story. You know the story. It's of a man who was born blind, and Jesus gave him his sight. And when all the Pharisees gathered around and questioned his parents and questioned the people around and questioned them, and they asked him great theological questions, and he said, "This I know, once I was blind and now I see." That is all he said. I'm not asking you to do the great theological treatise. I'm asking you to speak from your heart. That's the project. God is sending us to tell our stories of the love of God. There's a promise, God's peace, that assuredness, that security, that enoughness. There's a project that we would be sent with what we know, and there is a provision. Patty did it when she was reading the text. She went, "He breathed on them." Ruach, pneuma, Old Testament, New Testament. But it means spirit. It means wind. It means breath. He breathed on them. He gave them the spirit. Beloved, that same provision is here for us today, and it was there for Adam. If you hear the text that Patty read from Genesis, the same formula, there was a promise. I am bringing you in to be part of community. Let us make man. And there was man to be in God's image and likeness. The promise was community. And the project to care for creation. He set him in the garden to till it and care for him. But beloved, the provision was the same. God breathed into his nostrils, and Adam, the man, became a living soul. The provision is always the same. The provision is always the Spirit. This, for you and me, is the same formula. That God has sent his precious Spirit. And I know Pentecost is the moment when the Spirit was sent broadly. But I'm so grateful for the intimacy of that gospel from John. That it wasn't thousands and thousands. It was just the motley crew. It was just the scared and the locked behind doors. It was just the ones who didn't have enough confidence to go out in the light. It was just the ones who had heard about his resurrection but had not seen him. He came to them and breathed on them. And he does for us. The same provision is still his breath. The same provision that enables us to take on our project, to go into the world, to carry what we know, that allows us to have this promise made real. Emmanuel, God with us. Beloved, in the first 40 days of the church, they were scared. And then he showed up and promised them and assigned them and equipped them. In our life, in our world, it is easy to be scared. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our redeemer. The provision, the Spirit is our reminder and our advocate. The Spirit is our protector and the one who holds us and connects us to God and the Savior. He is, the Spirit is, our way forward. So in this world, when we feel like locking up behind doors, we have to remember that we have been called by a promise, given a project, and equipped with a provision. And here is the promise, that the provision will never change. In Sunday school, we talked about the Holy Spirit as a personal coach, standing right by your shoulder, always ready to advise, always ready to encourage, always ready to speak. But you and I have to take a deep breath. We have to breathe in the Spirit. We have to give the Spirit permission to come and be our advocate, to be our teacher, so that we are strong enough to believe the promise and accept the assignment, to accept the project and go out into the world. This is a day not unlike those first few days in Jerusalem. This is a day when the streets are not always safe, when danger does lurk. It's a day when there are those who do not want the word of God to go forward. It is a day when they would love us to stay locked up. Because if we stay locked up, the word stays with us. But in those first 40 days, after he came to them and after he spoke to them, they had courage enough to venture out. This day, as we look out at 2018, this day, as we claim the risen Savior, this day, may we know that same provision is available for us to breathe in and to move out not only into the next 40 days, but beyond. Will we? Will you? Everybody, take a deep breath. Gracious God, fill us and inspire us no less than we took in natural air with your celestial spirit, that we might be brave enough, courageous enough to hear the promise, to accept our project, to go out into the world carrying what we know, made possible by the provision of your spirit. Alleluia, alleluia. We will sing to Jesus because he has made this possible. Alleluia, alleluia. He is risen and therefore we are able. And God's church said...